The Gospel of John is certainly one of the most strange documents in the Bible, in the New Testament particularly. And it almost didn't get put into the Bible. They almost didn't canonize this thing. We know for a fact that it was not only till the end of the second century that John's Gospel was not used by heretics. The so-called Orthodox people started quoting freely. So what's the problem? Well, there are a number of problems. And the problem became so severe in time that after his community, which was very different and separate from the rest of the Christian world, those places where the Gospels had grown up, pardon me, it was very distant from them. And so you have a whole different mindset, if you will, among the people who produced this strange document. And what the main reason it is strange, because it is a clearly dualistic piece of writing. What do I mean? It sees the world in simple black and white terms. As you get all these pairings, you're from above, you're from below, you're in the light, you're in the dark, you love, you hate, you're alive, you're dead. And there is no middle ground. You're either in or you're out. And the reason for that is that the Johannine writer fully believed that if people simply looked within the light that was cast on the world by Jesus, that they would inevitably, necessarily, if you will, come to believe that Jesus was God's messenger, Jesus was the messenger from God to tell the world what was what and who was who. And that's why you have this very stark contrast. If you believe, then you're saved. If you don't believe, then you're damned. But we have to be very careful, because unfortunately the church has taken this up and misconstrued it in all kinds of ways. It means, to believe means what? Simply to acknowledge what you own, what your own conscience, what your own intelligence, what your own deepest self recognizes as the truth. And therefore not to believe is consciously to act against one's own consciousness. Actively to reject what one fully believes is true. Well, that's very nice. Life doesn't work that way. Which is precisely why the Johannine community split badly, exploded, if you will. And those people who felt that they were absolutely certain that they were in the light, and those people who were not, who disagreed with them, in other words. This stands in very sharp contrast, of course, to the thought of Paul, who never saw the world in those stark black and white terms. Never. Paul would talk about a continuity, a progression of deepening of faith. I beat my body and bring it into submission, but I do not believe I have attained the goal, blah, blah, blah. Paul says it over and over again, and that's why he is much more accessible. But what can we rescue then from this weird and basically wrong-headed document? Wrong-headed in so many ways. The continuity, of course, is this statement that God did not send the world, send the Son into the world to condemn the world. In other words, the world exists within the ambit, the universal ambit of God's love and concern. And to recognize that in the figure of Jesus is to come to understand who God is and who we are. This is really hard to get our heads around, I think, because empirically it doesn't work that way. Empirically it doesn't work that way. The church stands over and over, the official church stands over and over again as a great arbiter of the world's truth or falsity. You get this extraordinary spectacle of political life in the United States at this moment, for example. those great Catholic figures, Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, were so certain as to who's who and where's where. And of course, it's rubbish. It's rubbish. They foreclose all kinds of things on people. And they're so certain of their own vision of things that it's not surprising that they say the ridiculous things that they do. So what has this to do with Lent? Well, one of the results of Lent ought to be for us a deepening belief in God's non-judgmental presence in the world, in the case of Jesus. God absolutely loves the world. Absolutely loves the world. And that's why Lent is so important, because God loved Jesus, and yet Jesus got killed. So we have to, this should short-circuit any facile opportunity that we take to say, oh, I know what love is. I know who loves me and who does not love me. No, no, it is not at all that simple. It is only struggling in a lot of darkness, it seems to me, do we come to even believe what the love of God consists in. And those of us who are parents know in our guts that that's the case. We don't know with any kind of precision, any kind of real depth, what it is to love our own kids. Well, we don't put strychnine in their soup. That's one thing, yeah, but that does not get us very far. Why? Because our vision of our kids are occluded by our own defects, I think, which make it very difficult to assume what is the loving thing to do. So it calls us to an enormous amount of humility, I think, and this is what Lent is supposed to engender in us, that greater deepening of humility about our own ignorance, about our own inner darkness, about our own inner incapacity to see what is the loving thing to do. And finally, it ought to forestall our normal human tendency to enter into the world as judge. I mean, if you were an Indian in Brazil at the time the Portuguese came, or in Latin America when the Spanish colonies and the conquistadores, the conquerors came, with their disease, with their lust for gold and power, carrying the cross, however. If you were black in the American South, beaten, tortured, enslaved, in the name of God, of course, in the name of God, how can you believe that? How can you believe that? And the fact that a bunch of those guys did, in fact, come to believe, with a depth that shames me, at least, continues to astonish me. But this is the caution we're given, not to judge, not to judge, not to condemn. It would be so nice if the church, the official church, and then we as individual Christians, but I'm thinking mostly about the official church, because that's what the church is in the mind of many people. It would look as a radical embrace, a non-condemnatory embrace of everybody, which is what we see in Jesus. The woman taken in adultery. Has nobody condemned you, lady? I don't condemn you. Would that the church were that kind of benign presence in the world. Now this too, we need badly to understand how the Gospel of John came into being and what it means and what its major flaws are. just as a corrective for our own stance in the world.